is the first Monday of April. That means we're getting closer and closer to the NBA playoffs. Monday, April 4th, Adam Azer and Greg Urbano with the CBSSports.com basketball podcast. Urbano.
Yes.
We've got the national championship game coming up in just a few hours.
We do.
Kemba Walker saying he might return if they win the national championship this year.
You know what?
Come back, try for two.
Odd enough, I thought it would be an automatic if they win, he leaves for the pros. Why not? Why not go out on top? But a lot of guys say things like this while they're still playing. We'll see.
Two weeks
removed from the championship win. If that is the case, I think he'll be singing a different tune.
So we're going to look around the NBA, and Sunday we had a few interesting games. The Spurs got hopefully back on track. They beat the life out of the Nashless Suns. You know what? If you're going to come out and play that zone defense against the best three-point shooting team in the NBA, you deserve to get destroyed.
Yeah.
And Phoenix did. But I thought the biggest story from Sunday was Shaquille O'Neal and his calf strain. Leaves his availability for the regular season in doubt a little bit, unless I missed an update at some point today.
No.
And so by the time you hear this, you might have more information. But I watched the game, and he was playing so recklessly when he came in. It was really weird. He did a reverse layup. You know, sometimes Shaq gets these adrenaline rushes where he just runs down the floor. Well, there was one time where he went into the stands. Well, he loves to go into the stands.
Oh, yeah.
And he went into the stands very unnecessarily. He didn't lunge into the stands. Just kind of made contact with some of the people behind the basket, maybe some photographers. But I just thought he was playing so recklessly. And I don't know if that's how this injury occurred, but it was bad to see, and it's bad news for the Celtics. And
sure,
if Shaq is not healthy, and at this point, can you really trust him to stay healthy for the entire postseason?
No, and if certainly, you know, how many minutes will he be playing when he is fully
exactly
back? That's a big question mark. And obviously, Jermaine O'Neal, same thing with him, rounding back into form, getting into game shape. Great game from Rondo the other night for them to win, but really, in essence, like you said, for a big playoff run, for a long, extended playoff run, they need that front court to be healthy, in particular Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, not necessarily in the first round. But
yeah,
look, if Shaq's not healthy, let's say he doesn't play in the playoffs. I think he will. This wasn't the Achilles. But let's say he's, you know, very limited. They could be upset by either the Sixers or the Knicks. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, the Sixers playing great basketball right now. It doesn't seem like they even care who the opposing team is. They're just playing team basketball, going out every night. It's a consistent effort.
Yep.
And when they get guys off the bench to contribute, which they have pretty consistently lately,
yeah, but
they
now
can't win.
Lou Williams is hurt. He's going to miss the rest of the regular season.
Certainly.
So I think actually they're a game and a half ahead of the Knicks, and they play the Knicks on Wednesday. So with Lou Williams out, they might fall back into the seventh seed. We'll see who they face. Miami and Boston have a game coming up. Could decide who gets the two and who gets the three. More on that a little bit later. The Mavericks, Greg, they're cold. They have lost three in a row. Lost to the Lakers on Thursday, Golden State on Saturday, and the Blazers on Sunday. No Tyson Chandler on Sunday against the Blazers. Out with a back injury. Doesn't seem too serious. And when Jason Terry struggles, they struggle. He shoots 46.5% in wins, less than 42% in losses, scores 2.5 less points per game, and he was not a big factor in that loss. What's your take on the Mavs?
Well, it's looking likely that the Mavs are going to be facing that Portland team in the first round of the playoffs. LaMarcus Aldridge simply dominates that team, and you notice he did that just the other night as well. And looking, as you said, Tyson Chandler being out, huge thing for them. I've talked about Tyson Chandler's, you know, ability this year to change the framework, just the mindset of this team, and really make them more of a defensive team, especially down the stretch. He has been absolutely huge. So him being out, big reason why they lost to Portland. At the same time, Portland playing great basketball right now, limiting the minutes of Brandon Roy, still getting very effective minutes out of him. He's averaging somewhere in between 25 and 27 minutes, but when he gets enough shots up, he has really been able to contribute offensively. And that depth there, Andre Miller the other night was just absolutely great defensively as well as offensively. So going to be an interesting first-round matchup no matter what. I expect Dallas to get out of it. Dirk, obviously, you know, playing great this entire season. Don't see them faltering in the first round. But, again, we talked about what's the long-term prognosis of this team. Can they win a ring? I don't see it happening this year.
Well, the one thing we have to remember is that this was a six-game road trip they were on. Second game of back-to-backs without Tyson Chandler in that second game. And they were tired. That's what I've been reading a lot today, and that seems to be the general consensus. They're a little bit tired right now. They're kind of worn down. You don't have to play any back-to-backs in the playoffs. That's going to really benefit a veteran team like the Mavericks. Yeah, in the midst of this six-game road trip where they're playing some tough teams, obviously caught up to them. They started out the trip pretty well, but now they've dropped three in a row. I'm not making too much of it. And I don't know how many times we have to say that about the Mavericks. They seem to be a pretty streaky team. But you never should get too down on them because they can really turn it on. Did the Spurs turn it on? Did Boston turn it on with that win over the Spurs on Thursday? San Antonio beating the Suns Sunday. But right now, you know, that loss to Boston when Boston just hasn't been playing very well. And then to Houston in overtime on Friday, that was a shocking ending to that game. It was ridiculous because Manu Ginobili, this is the biggest problem I think the Spurs have going into the playoffs right now. Who is going to make that big shot for them? Ginobili was so good at the beginning of the season. He's not good anymore. Every time I see them in a close game, he gets the ball, and he's not doing that much with it, and he didn't even get a shot off at the end of regulation against Houston. I think he ended up making the shot he took, but it came after the buzzer.
Yeah.
Inexplicable to not get that shot off, and then they lose in overtime. We all do. Serious concerns about San Antonio right now. I don't really make much of that big blowout win over the Suns. The only thing I take out of that is that coupled with the Lakers' loss, they have a very good chance of getting the one seed out west.
They do.
But, yeah, I mean, we're clearly concerned about them. Now, the Lakers did lose on Sunday. They have been playing amazing, but so have the Denver Nuggets, who beat them in Los Angeles, 15-4 since trading Carmelo Anthony. I don't know how often we need to keep talking about it, but every week they get more and more impressive.
It's true.
And I was really impressed with Kenyon Martin yesterday.
And you look at their home record, 31-7 at home. Three of the four teams in front of them don't have a better record. They actually have a better record at home than Oklahoma City, Dallas, and the Lakers. So, you know, we talked about them all season. They're probably not going to lose on the road when we get into the playoffs. And, you know, looking at that Oklahoma City Thunder, you look at that matchup with the Thunder, they could possibly jump them into the four seed. They play each other twice in the next week. So it's very possible. I mean, it's certainly not something that I would put as a guarantee or by any means. But if they are able to do that, I see no reason to think why they couldn't beat Oklahoma City. And even now, it's going to be a great first-round matchup.
They're
getting great contributions.
Right now, I'm taking them.
I don't see why not. After seeing the way they play lately, seeing Kenyon Martin fully healthy, Nene's fully healthy, that's a very, very tough team to compete with. Chris Anderson a few weeks ago had just an incredible game for them. So they're getting contributions from the front court, not consistency from the back court, but there's always some guy who steps up. It's either, you know, Lawson will have a great game, or let's have, you know, maybe Aaron Aflalo hit a big shot. There are reasons why this team is playing so well, and it's because they're not focusing on one thing. They don't do the same thing every game. They have different guys contribute in different ways each and every single night, but the effort is always the same. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talk about Kendrick Perkins a lot for Oklahoma City. And by the way, those two teams play on Tuesday and on Friday. Tuesday is at Denver, Friday in Oklahoma City. We talk about Perkins. I think the single most underrated player in basketball is Nene.
Possible. Very possible. No one talks about him being a big man and contributing big man
awesome.
To a team that could make a title run.
Yeah, I mean, if you put him on the Heat, they'll win the championship.
Absolutely. There's no reason to doubt that whatsoever.
I talked about Lou Williams out for the rest of the regular season. So, you know, right now, the Western Conference teams at the bottom, they're just kind of beating up on each other. Memphis beat the Hornets on Friday. The Hornets beat Portland before that. Portland beat Dallas. So if you just look at the last couple of weeks, it's kind of difficult to really get a measure of what's going on out west. So I think what's important is you have to really remember what's gone on throughout the season. And don't just take a snapshot of the last few weeks, with the exception of the Lakers, who are just clicking right now. And another thing I want to add about that Denver game. Bynum got hurt. Wasn't serious, but they held him out at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And Kenyon Martin clearly fouled Lamar Odom on that offensive rebound.
You got to wonder. That's something they almost never call. And really, if Odom did a little better job selling that,
maybe he didn't even seem to care.
No, he didn't. He just saw the rebound, saw that got put in by Kenyon Martin, said, oh, that's nice. If he had maybe just fallen forward, fallen on the ground, make it look like you got fouled, especially when he probably, like you said, probably did get fouled. They get that call. They get the ball only down two.
But that doesn't happen if Bynum's in the game.
Absolutely.
That was the point I was going to make.
Absolutely not.
Bynum doesn't play that game. And you know, they also lost the game. Did they lose that game? The first game that Bynum sat out after he got suspended for two games. Either they lost or they almost lost. But he obviously makes a huge difference. Almost to the point where he might be the second best player. I mean, he's almost as good as Pau Gasol. Because defensively and the rebounding,
absolutely,
he makes such a huge difference.
Yep.
I still take Pau.
Yeah, I mean, the skilled, you know, athlete that he is there in the front court, to be able to score the way he does, obviously Bynum, when he has good games offensively, he's knocking down the hook shot, he's getting inside, and obviously getting penetration from other guys that open up the lane for him. But Powell can score with his back to the basket and just him on the floor, really, and other guys spacing out the floor. He doesn't need someone else to make him or contribute to that basket.
Yeah, in terms of the Eastern Conference, the Bulls are just beating everybody. Derrick Rose had a block last week. That was just
amazing.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. The Bulls lead the East by 2.5 games. The Miami Heat currently a half game of the Celtic ahead of the Celtics for the 2 seed. Miami has 5 games left. Boston has 6. Miami has Milwaukee, Charlotte, and Boston all at home, at Atlanta, at Toronto.
Yep.
It's an easy, very winnable schedule. That game against Boston's obviously huge. Boston has Philadelphia, at Chicago, Washington, at Miami, at Washington, New York. So clearly a harder schedule, but they do have the tiebreaker over Miami, so that helps. Orlando and Atlanta practically locked into the 4 and 5 spots, and I think Orlando has been playing very lazy, uninspired basketball
lately.
As does
Stan Van Gundy, who voices his opinion often and really just said he's not worried about the makeup of the team, he's worried about the effort of the team, and that's not good when you're getting ready to make a playoff run at all.
And it makes sense. I mean, they really have nothing to lose or gain here.
It's true.
They're the 4 seed.
They're not going to be able to jump into the 3, but you know we've talked about it, and for me it's a big thing. I know it's not a big thing for you, but to come into the playoffs on some sort of a roll, to not limp into the playoffs or play the type of games that Orlando's playing where there clearly is a lack of effort. I mean, we talked last week when they were playing against New York, a game they eventually pushed into overtime but lost to New York. You even said it just doesn't look like they want to be here.
No,
the Knicks were out there
and
trying their hardest.
I watched the game against the Raptors last night too, Orlando-Toronto. Oh, man, it was pathetic. They got out-rebounded by Toronto by 18 rebounds, and Toronto's one of the worst rebounding teams in the league. And speaking of Toronto, there was a blog entry on our website, I think a couple weeks ago I saw it, about the Raptors being willing to trade Andrea Bargnani, and it was just speculation. It was citing an article talking about how they might want to trade Andrea Bargnani. They've played without Bargnani the last 2 games. They put up, and Calderon at the same time. They put up a pretty good effort against the Bulls, and they beat the Magic. And again, out-rebounded the Magic by 18. I think they should trade Bargnani.
Well, what's it? Is trading him going to keep them out of the playoffs? I mean, let's be honest.
But
they're not making the playoffs with him. Making the playoffs without him. Might as well make some sort of move. You can get something back in return, maybe some draft picks. No reason not to.
They like Ed Davis, and he's been good.
Very much so.
And the fact is, you can't win with a center who gets 5 rebounds a game.
This is absolutely true. We've known that. And, if you look at some of the teams in the Eastern Conference, if you watched last night, Eric Dampier had 14 rebounds against one of your favorites, Brooke Lopez, who's a center who somehow has gone off of the rebounding radar and just stopped rebounding the basketball. That's not going to help. You have to have your big man go after the ball on the rebounds.
So, again, it's the Bulls 1, the Heat 2, half game ahead of the Celtics. Orlando 4, Atlanta 5.
And you mentioned that Derrick Rose block. We saw an interesting stat today. Derrick Rose has more blocks on the season than LeBron James does, which
wow.
is absolutely huge. And he has one more offensive rebound than LeBron James as well. So he's really – we know his leaping ability and the fact that he can jump out of the gym, but the effort to make these block shots, to get inside and get offensive rebounds has been simply fantastic. And I know there's been a lot of buzz about who should be MVP, and it's numbers like these that really stand out.
He's the MVP. Come on.
We know that, but there are a lot of people who are saying Dwight Howard, and again, a loss against Toronto like this for Orlando is not going to help Dwight Howard get any more votes. I don't think he was going to get enough anyway, obviously. Maybe second place votes, but you look at some of the things that D. Rose that don't make the regular stat sheets, and those are things that really stand out as him being the most valuable player this year.
Back to the standings, Philadelphia with a game and a half lead over the Knicks. They play on Wednesday. The Pacers, 4 games back of New York, so they're the 8th seed right now. Extremely unlikely that they're going to jump up. More likely, but still unlikely that they will fall out of the playoffs. They're 2 games ahead of Charlotte, 3 games ahead of Milwaukee. So the Pacers look like they will be the 8th seed, and they will get destroyed by the Chicago Bulls. Out west, Spurs have a 2.5 game lead over the Lakers. They play on April 12th in L.A. The Spurs are at Atlanta versus Sacramento versus Utah, at L.A. and at Phoenix. Not that easy of a schedule.
You got to figure it. That Atlanta game could be tough. I would assume they're definitely going to be Sacramento, Utah at home. And then going to Phoenix last game of the year, whether or not Nash is playing, I would assume San Antonio will either have it locked up at that point or will need to lock it up at that point. Either way, I would assume they're going to win that game. So big game, April 12th, obviously in L.A.
Yeah, and also, you remember, the Spurs have a 2.5 game lead over the Lakers. They have a 1.5 lead over the Bulls.
That's right.
The Bulls are a game ahead of Los Angeles. Those are the three best records in basketball. And the Bulls have an outside shot of having the best record and having home court advantage throughout the playoffs. And the Bulls will be rooting probably for a Lakers upset because as of now they have a better record.
So do you think the Bulls expect San Antonio to come out of the West, or are they really expecting the Lakers to come out of the West? I mean, that's a big thing, is that last game of the year, say they have a 1-game lead over the Lakers. Do they try to win that game as much as they would, say, if it's San Antonio? They're right there.
Of course.
If they really have to, are they expecting to see the Lakers? That's my biggest point.
You're going to try to win and stay ahead just in case.
I would assume, though. I mean, if you're looking at a game against New Jersey, probably Derrick Rose doesn't even need to play to win that game. So even still, I might think about resting the guys above the Lakers, because I don't think anyone expects San Antonio to come out of the West.
I'm not giving up on them. There's a lot of talent there.
Sure is.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
What I want to know is if they'll be willing to play Splitter and Duncan at the same time and get a little bit more size when you look at what you're going up against in the Lakers. If they face the Lakers, even if they face the Thunder in the second round.
I would assume there's going to be moments in the game. Rotations, depending on foul trouble.
He just hasn't been that good, Splitter, but he's gotten more run now that Tim Duncan's been out.
It's true.
But you know that when they've won their championships, they've always had two centers.
That they have.
I think that point was brought up during the broadcast yesterday. I was barely watching after they opened up that 25-point lead. So the Spurs in first place, the Lakers in second. Mavs 2.5 games back of L.A., 2.5 games ahead of Oklahoma City. So very likely they will end up as the 3 seed, and the Thunder should be 4th. Denver's 5th right now, 2 games up on Portland. New Orleans and Memphis are 7-8. They have the same record. At 44-33, New Orleans right now is the tiebreaker, but they do have to play each other one more time. I think we both agree that Memphis is better.
Absolutely. If you just look now without David West, no reason to think that Memphis isn't the better team. And really, without Rudy Gay, they've had contributions, and I think the biggest, most important player on that team, as we've talked about all year, has been Zach Randolph. So Rudy Gay going down, you can pretty much replace him. If Zach Randolph had gone down, you're not going to replace that 20-10.
Houston 3 games out of the playoffs with 5 games left. They do play the Hornets at home on Wednesday. I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that Houston sneaks in and New Orleans collapses. I think what would be more surprising of the two would be Houston basically having to win out.
Yeah.
I could see the Hornets really struggling down the stretch because Paul's a little banged up and West, as you mentioned, is out. But Houston would pretty much have to win out, back 3 games with 5 games left. Be difficult.
Be tough. And you can't say enough about Kyle Lowry. Like, basically, for the last 2 months now, been playing incredible basketball ever since getting rid of Aaron Brooks. Now he knew I'm the guy in the backcourt that's going to handle the ball, make things happen for other people, and score at will, basically, for the most part, what he's been doing lately. A couple triple-doubles throughout the season. Really, the contributions he made let everyone in Houston realize, okay, the trades we made at the deadline were the right moves. They set up for the future. They got rid of some guys that weren't really team-oriented players. And in the Rick Adelman system, you need guys that are going to buy into playing for that team.
Biggest winning streaks right now in the NBA would be 6 by the Denver Nuggets. The Bulls and the Heat have won 3 straight, as have the New York Knicks. 4 straight for Memphis right now. And Minnesota has lost 10 in a row. Utah has lost 10 in a row, 6 losses in a row for the New Jersey Nets. Deron Williams really hasn't had much of an impact, but that wrist bothering him, his jumper. I'm not sure what he's done in the last couple games, but,
He played well against the Heat overall. They were just overpowered in that game, but he tried his best to try to keep them in there. Certainly overmatched with the talent on Miami's roster.
So let's get to the power rankings.
Get to it.
I really only have 4 teams that I feel confident about right now.
Really?
That's surprising. It was difficult for me to pick a 5th.
I have a new number 5.
After touting my
old number 5, yes.
You're so fickle.
I am very fickle. That's the thing about power rankings. They change for me pretty much on a weekly basis based on the things that I've seen.
And I try not to.
No reason not to have Denver there in the top 5. So should I begin?
Sure.
Number 1, Chicago Bulls, still up here. They won 3 straight and 8 of 10.
Did you have the Lakers as number 1 last week?
I don't think. I believe I had the Chicago Bulls.
Okay.
Could have been the Lakers, but I believe I had the Chicago Bulls. 3 straight, 8 of 10. Barring a catastrophic collapse, Chicago will be the number 1 seed in the East, possibly in the NBA. you know, big question mark there. But for them, it is very important. 33-5 at home, 23-15 on the road. The Lakers, they've won 9 of the last 10, 17 of the last 19 since the All-Star break. The loss to Denver was bad in terms of fighting for the number one seed, but ultimately I think it'll help this team in the long run. You're not going to see Lamar Odom get, you know, rebounded over in a last-second shot ever again. These are the sorts of things that they learn from, and Phil Jackson will ultimately not allow something like that to happen again.
Okay, go ahead.
Third team, San Antonio. 17-point win in Phoenix after dropping the previous six. Right now, as far as their roster is concerned, they're back to full strength. Expect the Spurs. I at least expect them to hold on to that 2.5-game lead over the Lakers.
Yeah, me too.
And with an easy schedule to finish out outside of those trips to Atlanta and to L.A., I would also expect them to stay in front of Chicago.
I don't think it's an easy
schedule. Outside of Atlanta and L.A., Sacramento, Utah at home, and then a trip to Phoenix, as we mentioned.
Yeah, they should win those games.
They should absolutely win those games. At the number four spot in this week's power ranks of the Miami Heat, winners of 11 of 13 since the five-game slide they had. LeBron James is filling the stat sheet, and he and D-Wade just look two steps faster than opposing teams right now. Chalmers is back, and just the other night, Eric Dampier pulled down 14 rebounds. Might not be a big story as far as, you know, the Miami Heat are concerned
this year,
but to get that sort of effort out of Eric Dampier at least lets you know in certain games and certain matchups, they do have front court help, guys that can rebound, that guys that can play defense. Obviously, we know the offense revolves around number six and number three. For Denver, my number five team, they have won six straight and eight out of the last 10. In that span, they knocked off a hobbling Spurs team in Denver. And, of course, last night's big win over the Lakers. Right now, the Nuggets are the team nobody wants to play, and Oklahoma City has to be more worried day by day watching this team play.
Yeah, the thing is, though, like Oklahoma City, they've lost two in a row, but before that, they had a tremendous winning streak.
They were
playing outstanding basketball at the end of May, and then April came around, they started struggling. But Oklahoma City, you know, 7-3 in their last 10 games, still going to be very formidable for Denver. But, Denver's playing great.
We talk about they could jump. They play each other twice. It's possible for Denver
to win
both of those.
Those are huge games this week.
Very much so.
Those are two of the biggest games that we're going to see all week. So you went Bulls, Lakers, Spurs, Heat, Denver.
Got it.
I got the Lakers number one. It took me a little while. Finally, I'm convinced.
Even though they lost their last game.
Yeah, but I really think they lost because Bynum wasn't playing.
Yep.
I think they lost down the stretch because of Bynum. Oh, and Kobe, you idiot. Those shots.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you're going to have to deal with those. You're going to have to deal. There are going to be some games where Kobe single-handedly loses the game because he's 10 of 27 and decides to shoot every friggin' time he touches the ball in the last 2 minutes.
Who do you hate worse taking a last-minute jumper?
Carmelo
Kobe Bryant,
or Kobe?
Chauncey Billups, or Carmelo Anthony?
Billups is a point guard.
Yeah.
At least Kobe has shown that his ridiculous method could actually work.
It's true.
And I think, didn't they score on an offensive rebound, like on a Lamar Odom putback off a Kobe miss? You know, he was so selfish and so stupid down the stretch yesterday.
How stupid?
How stupid was he? He was really stupid. I mean,
yeah.
That baseline jumper he took over Chandler, they didn't even attempt to run a play there. That was it. It was just one-on-one isolation. I never understood the theory of, your offense all of a sudden has to completely break down and be what it hasn't been the entire game, the entire season, because it's the last minute of the game and you have a good player on your team.
It's true.
It's not just the Lakers. I mean, it happens all over the place. Guys are so selfish. And there is this obsession with taking the last shot. And because of that, offenses just completely break down and it just becomes garbage. So anyway, there's going to be a few of those games in the playoffs, but with the Lakers, there always seems to be more of the games where they get it done down the stretch rather than they blow it. So I got the Lakers 1, the Bulls 2. Why did I take the Lakers over the Bulls? Do I really think if they met up in a 7-game series, even if the Bulls had home court advantage, do I really think the Bulls would win? No, I just don't.
No.
I think the Lakers, it is so hard to beat a team with two great centers.
You're right.
And the Spurs proved that with Robinson and Duncan. I can't say they always had two great centers, but they had at least
formidable.
One great one.
Absolutely.
And the Spurs have proven that, and the Lakers have also done that. So I think I'd take the Lakers over the Bulls. Lakers 1, Bulls 2, Heat 3. LeBron James could put up like 28-7-7 without even blinking an eye. Nobody would even notice.
In the New Jersey game, there were so many assists, at least three assists. That guy's blue dunks on, blue layups on. So he easily could add another triple-double. And, you know, it's whether it's Dampier or Bosch, just not finishing right at the basket when he gives him a wide-open shot. It's amazing how many times I watch that and see those little things in a game where you say, wow, he could have had easily 10 assists.
Yeah, I still worry about that free throw shooting, though. story about that team's free throw shooting.
Absolutely.
Down the stretch. So Lakers, Bulls, Heat, Spurs 4, Mavericks 5.
Mavericks 5?
Yeah.
Over Denver?
Why not? Yeah. Again, I want to look at the body of work. It's been a brutal stretch of games for Dallas. But they might lose to Portland. They might lose to Portland. I would not. I know I'm going to pick the Spurs in round one. I know I'm going to pick the Lakers in round one.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm going to take the Nuggets over the Thunder. And I might take Portland, although I don't think I will. I think I'll stay with the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, I'm a little upset. I was hoping to ride my Oklahoma City Thunder pick.
Yeah.
And I made it a few weeks ago thinking that they might actually make a run of the Western Conference Finals. Now I don't know if they're going to get out of the first round. That Denver team is absolutely downright frightening to anyone that has to face them.
15-4 since they made that trade. So again, Urbana goes Bulls, Lakers, Spurs, Heat, Denver. I had Lakers, Bulls, Heat, Spurs, Mavericks. So I am now, surprised that you had the Spurs over the Heat.
As of right now, I still want to see more out of the surrounding cast. You know, the
they're
supporting
doing it, though.
Cast
James Jones hit a three-pointer against New Jersey that basically ended the game, ended any threat. You know, we've seen Bibby hit some big threes lately. Guys
I see
are
that
hitting
against
those
playoff teams.
Yeah, okay, that's the thing against about the Heat. They teams still haven't proven it against the best
a little
teams.
More pressure. Want to see that against playoff teams. Now, my biggest question is, I just read an article about Orlando Magic's GM confident that Dwight Howard will resign.
Yeah.
After seeing what Denver did, the amount of talent they got back in the trade, and they actually got better since the trade, if you're the Orlando GM who says he's not entertaining trade talk at all, why would you not entertain trade talk?
There's what you say publicly and there's what you say privately.
Gotcha. So he wants Dwight to feel like, oh,
Dwight,
we're sticking
first of
with
all,
you.
Dwight Howard is so much better than Carmelo Anthony.
There's no doubt.
It's not even close. And Carmelo Anthony, by the way, is playing great basketball lately for the Knicks. On one end. Dwight Howard's so much better. Dwight Howard means more to that franchise.
You got to figure the asking price could literally be anything on your roster and every first-round pick for the next 3 or 4 years. And a lot of teams might actually do it.
A lot of teams would blow up their team for Dwight Howard.
For the shot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You'd have to get multiple first-round picks back, yeah. But I wouldn't entertain trade offers. You're not going to... You don't trade superstars and get better. What we learned from the Denver trade is that Carmelo Anthony is far from
a superstar.
And Dwight Howard is.
Gotcha.
So what the Nuggets specifically got a lot better on defense. That won't happen if Orlando
no,
trades
they won't
Dwight
get better
Howard
on offense or defense.
And their whole roster is built around Dwight Howard.
That's
it's like everybody on the team is supposed to compliment Dwight Howard.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, it wasn't like that on Denver. Everybody on the team was worse because they played with Carmelo.
So they literally have to do everything in their power to keep him in Orlando.
Of course, but what can they do? All they have to do is get him to sign on a dotted line. It's all it's all on his shoulders. They can't do
much
more. That's
going to be huge. If he leaves the same way Shaq did, Orlando might not ever recover.
No, they'll recover.
I don't know.
That just have to be terrible again to get the number one pick.
How are you going to get that lucky again to get the number one pick in a year in which the best center that we've seen in years is coming out? To hit, the lightning strike twice
for that.
That'd
be hitting the jackpot.
That. Exactly. So for that to happen again, very unlikely.
Hey, they could have taken Emeka Okafor. That would have been even worse.
Wow, that would have been something.
All right, that's Greg Urbano. I'm Adam Azer. We'll be back next week. And then we're going to break down the playoff matchups. I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be interesting. Going to be, I hope there are going to be some upsets this year.
There's a 5-4, I would assume. And
that's not an upset. That's like an 8-9.
6-3 in the West, perhaps. We'll see.
I have a feeling most people are going to hear this after the game, but I got UConn by 4. I think 66-62.
Just by 4. All right, let me go.
Butler is feisty, man. They never quit.
They certainly are.
They're incredible.
Go UConn by 6.
UConn, oh, that's your
pick?
You give me two, you take two more points.
Yeah. It won't be any last second bank shots from half court that barely missed this year.
Yeah. Butler might win, man.
But should be very, it's going to be an entertaining game, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, enjoy it, everybody. Thanks a lot for being here for this podcast. We'll be back next week. Talk to you soon. For Greg Urbano, I'm Adam Azer. Later.